Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to discuss the Word of God. I'm getting a little feedback in the background. Y'all hear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were talking last week about being a doer of God's Word, and we're going to pick up where we left off in James chapter 1, and we're going to go back up to verse I said 21, Sister Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Going to start there. Now, the reason why we're saying it's important to be a hearer and a doer, because a hearer only, you'll hear, you'll listen to, we can listen to the word, but it doesn't mean that we're going to do the word. And we're just simply talking about being obedient to God's word. Belief and obedience are the same. If I say I believe the word, I'm going to obey it. And this unbelief and disobedience are the same. It means the same. And so if I don't believe God's word, I'm not going to obey. See that? So this is where we're talking about being a hearer and a doer of God's word. And so we're going to go in depth to see what God has to say on tonight. There are many people that are in religious circles in church, and Paul said he wanted to go in depth. He wanted to teach things. He said there were things he had to say that was hard for them to hear. And why? Because they were carnal. And this is why we as Christians can't, if we continue with organized church and religious traditions and all this stuff and programs, all it does is make us forgetful hearers. We deceive ourselves. We'll see ourselves in the mirror, go to church Sunday morning, amen, oh, pastor preached the word, and as soon as we leave, we forget. We don't apply, we don't walk in obedience. And so there's a reason for that. And so we're going to look at this scripture tonight and see why it's important that we be both hearer and doer of God's word. So we'll start at verse 21.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Okay, so we established the fact that we have to learn how to receive. Not only receive, but receive with meekness. There are a lot of people that cannot receive from God. Now, understand that we said grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor, right? Grace was opened up to us when Christ died at Calvary. So when Christ died, we have to understand it's not just that he suffered, he bled, and the nails and the scars and the piercing of the side, that all, we're not demeaning that, but what we're focusing on is that he, what that act accomplished, he was a sin offering, because the wrath of God was against mankind, because we are not sinners just by what we do. We were sinners because we were born in sin. See that? So we have to have this understanding, because I can't just tell the world or people that aren't saved that they need a Savior. They don't understand that. Why? What did I do? What did Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin, have to do with me? I didn't bite the fruit. I've heard people say that. I didn't bite the fruit. They don't understand. So we sometimes get irritated and agitated. Oh, they don't believe. They're going to hell. But God has made us as the ambassador. We're supposed to teach them God's ways, understand the gospel. We're supposed to relay the kingdom of God here on earth, relay it to them how God works, who he is, have our own relationship with him so we can teach the world God's ways. See that?
Amen.
And so this is why it's important that we understand, that we get the picture. We understand what God, this whole salvation plan is about. Because if I can't explain to a sinner why they're a sinner, then that means that I need to go and I need to study to know, to be able to explain. So the burden is placed on us as believers and preachers of the gospel to relay this message of truth to a dying world.
Amen.
Okay? Yes. So, and what happens in church, we stand there gazing, just like, and I said this before, when Christ was resurrected or ascended, went back up to heaven, the disciples stood there gazing, and the angels like, why stand you here gazing? This same Christ, in other words, now take and put to use, put to work, put in action that which he taught you. And when we get into religious circles, we stand there gazing. We gaze at the cross, the cross, the cross. We amen it. We look at the movies and we're moved by it emotionally, but we can't just stand there gazing. He said, go ye out into all the world and make disciples of all men. Tell them I'm the Messiah, what I've done for them. See that?
Yeah.
So Paul said he had much to say to them, but they were hard of hearing. Something to that effect. We'll find that scripture in a minute. But anyway, here, I have to learn how to receive the word of God, and not only receive it with meekness. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Meekness means that you, it's a humility that's produced in you and I. When our faith is in trust, is in the cross, the Holy Spirit will cause us to put the interests of another before our own. So just like Christ gave up his right, he was and is fully God, but yet he thought it not robbery, because he's equal with the Godhead, that he came down for us on our behalf. He thought it not robbery to come down on our behalf and die and take the place of and be our representative man. He didn't think it was robbery. So meekness means that the will of the Father was that he present himself as fully God and fully man. He said, Father, prepare me a body. See? And so meekness means he gave up his right to himself to do the will of another, God the Father. He laid aside his deity but came to express himself as God, never losing possession of his deity, but he came to express himself, as a man. So that made him fully God and fully man. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to learn how to receive what he's done. Receive what he has given. He's the Logos, the living word. I have to learn with meekness. So when this word, if I receive the word of God, remember, it has to be implanted in me. So when I accept, the problem with most Christians, and the Bible talks about this a lot, we have to learn how to continue in the faith.
Amen.
We all accept him, justification. We will accept Christ. The wrath of God is settled. It's a legal pronouncement of being not guilty. God, the judge, stating that you and I are not guilty. Now, how can God, who is just, holy, now, in order to keep his justice and holiness, he cannot condone sin in the least bit. I don't care how much I cry and beg and plead, God would not side with sin in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So how can a holy God approach an unholy, unjust person like you and me? He did it through the death of his son, Christ becoming fully God. So I'm only justified. I'm legally pronounced not guilty because God looks at what his son has done. He doesn't receive our faces. If he did, then he has to pronounce judgment. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So because he sees Christ, I'm justified. And when I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I learn how to walk, to just learn how to live by faith in this living Savior on a day-to-day basis, this is where most people stumble. We stumble there. I got a pear tree in the back. And every year, this year, it produced, it had a lot of fruit on it. You could see all the pears on the tree, and it was beautiful. And we were like, oh, maybe this summer it's going to do good. Something happened, and the leaves start turning brown. And the next day we go out there, you see the leaves start withering more and more, and then the leaves start falling to the ground. But then there were not as many fruit. Some of the fruit, the buds, start drying up, turning brown when they were green and pretty coming out. But as time passed, I tried to do stuff, put some stuff on it to keep the disease or whatever it was from spreading. It kept getting worse. Then I put some fertilizer around it and said maybe it's malnourished or whatever, right? So it still didn't look any better. But the other day, I guess we needed some rain, and the rain and the fertilizer, and I just saw that there's very few fruit on there, but I saw life starting to sprout up again in some of the leaves. It's new growth, okay? What am I saying? I'm saying that when we receive Christ, because we don't continue in the faith, the just shall live by faith, we start to wither. We start turning brown. We start waning. See that? Mm-hmm. And the fruit becomes less and less.
Wow.
And but there were a few that's still out there, a few pears that's still out there that's green on leafy vines or branches that's growing. This is a picture of Christianity. Many start, but something happens to where you may be saved, but our leaves start withering. Remember, he said, in a drought, we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If we keep our faith and trust in Christ and we walk by faith, not by sight, and we walk in obedience to what we've heard, despite what goes on around us, guess what will happen? Even in a drought, your leaves will remain green and you will continue to produce fruit.
Amen.
See that? This is what's happening. Satan will attack us. There's three enemies that's at work in the life of the believer when we give our lives to Christ. The world system, the lust of the flesh, and the devil. And the cross takes care of all three. The problem is we step outside of faith in the cross and we engage and enact our own human strength, ability, and our own will instead of the strength, power, and might of God's Spirit. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he said, receive with meekness. We don't know how to receive. We won't continue receiving. What? The engrafted word, the implanted word. Like we said, people receive the word, but it depends on the condition of your heart. If the people that received it on the hard path, it said because they did not understand what happened. That seed laid there on a hard path, and the birds came, which represents Satan, because they had no understanding, took it away. The seed or the word that was planted in on the stony ground, these people received it in the thorny ground. They received it immediately with joy. But when tribulation, cares of the world, and the deciftfulness of riches came, see, we have to keep the whole armor of God on in the midst of that. The word is to be proven, to be tried. So if I keep my faith in what the word, the Logos, the living word, Jesus Christ, the story of the Bible, if I keep my faith in what he did for us at Calvary, despite what I see, despite what I hear, then guess what? I will continue to grow and receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is the engrafted word going to do? It's going to penetrate the heart, which is able to what? Save your soul. Meaning it has the power, the ability. Remember, now unto him who is able. The question is not whether God is able. The question is, are we willing to let him work?
Amen.
See, the problem is we're not willing to let him go deep into us, into our hearts, the deep recesses. Remember, the purpose of the word is to go down deep, to penetrate, and to bring to surface what's in my heart, the thoughts and the intents. We look at ourselves, we will scare ourselves if we really could see what's in our heart.
Amen.
And oftentimes we can't see it because the Bible says, all the ways of a man seemeth right in his own sight. Didn't King Saul think his way was right when God told him to kill everybody and the king Agag and all the people and the sheep or what have you? He thought by sparing Agag, sparing the best of the flocks or what have you, that his way was right.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He was a hearer only. We're going to see here what a hearer only does. Let's keep going, Sister. Any questions before we go forward? Okay, verse 22.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Oh boy, look what a doer of the word, it says, has the potential to do great and mighty things within the word has the potential to do great and mighty things within our life. Remember, the word is not in question. The power we know is there. He's the dunamis power. The Holy Spirit has the dunamis power when a faith is placed in the word. The story of the Bible centered around Jesus Christ. So he tells us, but be ye doers of the word, okay, and not hearers only. And there's a reason why he says this. Don't be a hearer only, because God knows that there were many who were just hearing, especially with the Jews. They were hearing. They laid their trust in the fact that they were a Jew or that they were in the lineage of Abraham. So they were just hearing, and they put their trust in their tradition and their lineage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who they were. And so because they did that, they were just hearing, and it deceived them. A hearer only is deceived. He can't see himself, right? So let me give you the definitions of the word. It says, the word be, it means to become, to come into existence, or to begin to be. Be what? But be, come into existence, begin to be what? Doers of the word. The word doer is a producer, a performer, one who obeys or fulfills the law or the word of God. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So God's telling us, this is a command. He's telling us, but become, come into existence. What? Become or begin to be a maker, a producer, or a performer, or fulfill or obey God's word. That's what he's saying. And not hearers only. Hearer, it means to listen. Hearing, they hear. See? We're going to go to that scripture in a minute. It says, while hearing the word is definitely necessary, at the same time, it must be heard properly. This is dangerous right here, because Christ kept saying, take heed what you hear. Then he said,
hello?
What happened?
Oh, no. She must have
got cut off.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Maybe she'll be back in a minute. That you, Nina, that her trying to come back.
I think that was, where it might have been me, I'm not sure.
Praise the Lord. Being a hearing and a doer. This is for me, being a hearer and a doer.
Mm-hmm. I hope she realized that she's off.
Well, at least she knew what. Because you will be back by now.
Hey, Doris and Nan.
Hey, Gladys.
Hey, Gladys. Are we still recording?
Yeah, it's still on. Who? Everybody on their cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, but I got kicked out. Y'all still there? I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm like, what's going on? And then I can't call from my house phone, so I had to call from my cell. So we're gonna keep going. He ain't gonna ruin this.
Amen.
All right. So we see here, we were talking about, let me get back here, y'all help me out. About being a hero owner, we said, deceives themselves because of the false, it doesn't even have to be church doctrines. It can be a wrong way you were brought up, a wrong thought process, a wrong perception of who God is. Remember we said last week about theories, our theories of God. If you are a person that was brought up with evolution and Darwinism and all this stuff, that can skew your whole perception of who God is, okay? So it's anything outside of faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement at Calvary. This is why we have to learn how to be a doer, to perform that which God reveals through his word. The Holy Spirit is responsible for making us a doer. You and I are not responsible. I can't do. See, when we try to do the word in our own human strength and ability without the power of the Holy Spirit, that I become a deceived also. I'm still just a hearer, because most people in church think, okay, I heard it. Now I got to put it into action. I got to perform. And now you got to understand the purpose of the law could only do one thing. The law's purpose was to show me that I was a sinner that needed God's redemption plan. I needed a savior. It showed me that man in and of himself and in his strength falls short daily. Why? Because of the nature in me, the bent towards wrongdoing. And so this is why God had came up with the plan from before the foundation of the world. He knew Adam and through foreknowledge, knew that Adam and Eve would fail. Nothing ever takes God by surprise.
Amen.
Nothing. Because he knows through foreknowledge. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, right? And so he has a plan. And so we just have to trust his plan, his way. And so when we see here, notice it says, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If I hear only, I'm deceiving myself. So if I'm sitting in church and I hear the word preached, I got to learn how to hear by way of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Because if I hear by the Spirit, if I'm listening by the Spirit knows the deep things of God. See that?
Yeah.
The Spirit, who knows the mind of God. We come to know it by the Spirit. See that? The Holy Spirit tells us or relays to us the mind of God, but I can't get the mind of God unless I'm walking by faith daily and walking in obedience. Now, you got to understand that obedience, walking in obedience, will lead to revelation. Line upon line, precept upon precept, hear a little, there a little. Walking in obedience will ultimately lead to you and I surrendering to the will of God. That's what obedience is. It means that not my will. Remember, receive with meekness what? The engrafted word. If I receive the engrafted word with meekness, the word will save my soul. Sozo. This is redemption, body, soul, and spirit. See that? You and I are saved holistically. God dealt with our past, our present, and our future. Remember, y'all was talking earlier about sanctification and how the church rarely goes into depth about these doctrines and how it works, the mechanics behind salvation. We only say, you need a savior, you need to be saved. We don't tell people why, because most people are confused. They don't understand. They say, I'm a good person. And we said last week, God did not die just to make bad men have good behavior. Mm-hmm. That's what most people in church want to do. Okay, I want to just do what's good and what's right, good works. No, God had, the heart has to be. God ain't taking the heart and say, okay, we're gonna perfect, we're gonna change, pick it up here and change, work with it. No, He has to change it.
Amen.
He has to give us a new heart and a new mind. See that?
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of the engrafted word. It's implanted in me because he's going to not use my spirit as far as trying to, and my strength and my ability. I have to be changed, regenerated. See that?
Yes.
I got to be regened. I got a whole, totally different perspective on life now. See, death now, before when we thought about death, we just, oh, boo-hoo, emotions. But now when we look at it from the mind of the spirit, we realize to be absent from the body, if I'm in Christ Jesus, means that I'm in his very presence. Paul said, I'm torn, y'all. I'm torn. I want to stay here and teach the truth of the gospel. And I know that if I'm ever absent from this body, I will be in his presence.
Amen.
See that?
Yeah.
So Satan is very clever, and this is where I want to go. I want to show how Eve was a hearer, and this is the attack. This is the attack. And the same tactic that Satan used in the garden, he's using it now. And y'all can follow along if you want, or you can just write the scriptures down. I was going to go to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to read all of them. We're just going to kind of skim through it. But we're talking about how Satan uses deception. Remember I said we have three enemies at work? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those things the Spirit of God has equipped us to overcome. See, he that is born of God overcomes the world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How did Lucifer fall? Through all three. How did Adam and Eve fall? Through the same spirit that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. How is Satan using deception today? He's using the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if I don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, or I don't understand, I'm going to a church that's just teaching me about you're supposed to be rich and name it and claim it and turn around three times and whatever it is, contrary to the cross, when law, rules, and regulation, we said the purpose of the law is, and I was beginning to say that early and I kind of got sidetracked, but law says you're a sinner. And the only thing that law can do is like a one-way valve. It just stops stuff. And so like a one-way valve, it can just keep stuff from coming in, but it can't do anything else, okay? So it can't pump anything out. So when you look at law, the only thing law does is execute God's wrath if you and I fail it, come short of it. See that? It executes God's judgment. That's all law can do. If you and I try to take upon, that's why it says cursed is the person that put himself under law, because now you and I have to perform. And there is no human being other than Jesus Christ that could keep God's law without sin.
Amen.
So law can only pronounce a judgment, the wrath of God. So why are we putting ourselves under it? This is what Satan wants. Go under law. Go to church. Go to religious church. I'm not, because church is not bad. We should find a good local church that preaches the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, explains it, proclaims it, and lives it. Okay? And so law, if I put myself under, I get saved, I'm justified by faith in the cross, then what happens? The Judaizers say, oh, you are not truly saved unless you become circumcised. See that? Justification and circumcision has nothing to do with each other. Circumcision was an ordinance. It's just like that water baptism was an ordinance. It was just a symbolic thing. You see how they were trying to tie circumcision with God's justification, redemption plan. And this is what many people in church do. If you're not a member of something, you're not saved. So most people in church think because they're not, if you see people in the world and I'm not in the world, but people outside of church, and you think because they don't go to a church, most people in church, religious church, think that they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a thing they ingrain. Oh, you're not in church, you're not saved. They forget the church is not an organization. The church is not, it's not about an organization. The church, the true body, is not about the four walls. It's an organism.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's all over the world. There's only one church, one body of Christ. See that? We've defined or dumbed down church to a building with a steeple and pews and a pulpit.
Yep. Amen.
See? And that's not. I may be in church with somebody on the line, phone line, or on media, and even though I'm not there physically, and you can be there physically, understand that. I can be in China. I can be in, it doesn't matter. It's all over the world. These are blood-bought saints who have evidence faith in the cross on a day-to-day basis. That's the church, those who put their trust in Christ's atonement. Okay? So in Genesis 3, let's go there. We're going to take our time with this because I want you to see what a hearer is. Okay? Verse 1, just here.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Okay. Now, I want you to see and understand, bring out just a couple of points. It says here, by entering into this conversation, Eve has opened herself up to the beguiling personality of Satan. See that?
Mm-hmm.
She entertained him. So she's going to be deceived. The deception is entertained. When you and I, when Christ says, take heed how you hear and what you hear, some things we can't entertain.
Amen.
Some things they're a trap to get us to be pulled away from the truth of God's word. Okay, he's trying to appeal to her, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then finally the pride of life. The same scheme or the same thing that Satan bowed to or Lucifer bowed to that caused his fall and demise. So it says here we see that dialogue with the wrong kinds of people can very quickly lead us onto the path of confusion and compromise. Now, this, you can write this down. I'm going to read it. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Bible gives us clear, protective guidance by stating, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. Here we go with that tree. Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth what? His fruit in his season. Notice it says, his fruit in his season. God has called every believer to bear fruit. God has called every Christian to bear fruit in season, in his season, okay? So we're supposed to bear fruit in our season. If God has placed you here and he's called and you've answered the call of being elected by God, how do you know you're elected? You're elected, you know you're elected if you answer the call. Everybody has been called. Many are called, few are chosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God died for the world. Whoever responds to the call has been elected through foreknowledge of God and predestined to become the plan. See, the plan of the elect is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the plan. The plan of God was predestined that whoever is elected, whoever is called and respond to it, because is elected and they're called to be conformed. That's our purpose. Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ means that I decrease. So now if I'm decreasing, he's increasing. I've received the engrafted word, and now the Spirit of God can increase in me to produce the fruit. and in my proper season, I will bring forth. See, remember I talked about the pear tree, how it the leaves were green, but something started happening and the leaves withered. There was a lot of fruit, but then the fruit was reduced. There's some still there. Everybody's not producing fruit. Your race, each of us have a course set before us. I can't go to God. When you and I stand before God, God is not going to hear me say, well, my husband, well, my wife, well, sister so-and-so stepped on my toe and got on my nerves and she made me. He held Adam and Eve and the serpent all responsible and Satan for their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
We read in 1 Corinthians 3 how our fruit is going to be judged. It's going to be tested through the fire, okay? And we're not talking about fruit that we produce. God knows what fruit he's looking for, and it has to be produced by the Spirit. How's our attitude? See, that's how we know what the fruit is. God put us in the circumstance and situation to see what your attitude is. How's your living? Are we walking according to the lust of the flesh, the desires of what the things that we see, the pride of life? Or are we trusting in God, whether we have or don't have? Are we believing him and in his word, and our actions match what we say? That's what being a hearer and a doer would do. And so here we see that Eve entertained Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing today. If we're Christians, guess what? That TV, that radio, that internet, social media will defy. If we're not careful, depending on what sources or what you're listening and watching, it will defy God's word in you. And we will start entertaining a lie. So we see Eve entertain him. She carried a dialogue instead of saying, like Christ was saying in Luke 4, and we're going to see there in a minute. He showed how we should do it, okay? Now notice it says, please notice this well-worn, slippery slope that leads mankind away from God's blessing. It starts with the counsel of the ungodly. This leads unto the way of sinners and ends up in the seat of the scornful. So on the surface, claiming that deception comes through conversation seems overly alarmist, but the Apostle Paul warned the church at Ephesus by writing, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We've been placed here to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Satan don't want that. He wants us to cuddle up with it, entertain it, tolerate it. This is why the LGBT agenda and all these other things, these are, when we say it before, is moral issues that we're supposed to, as a church, stand against. When the world tries to make them legalize it, we can't. We're supposed to reprove them and not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, so those who are of the light, they'll be drawn to. So it may look like that you're repulsive to the world and they scorn you and don't like you. But guess what? There are some people that will be drawn to your light shining. This is you bearing fruit in your season. People are like, she need to shut up. He need to shut up. They're coming against, leave them alone. We let them live their lives how they want to, right?
Right.
But the fruitful, he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's our job as light. And then James said in James 4, I'm calling out these scriptures, y'all can write them down. The first one, the have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, is in Ephesians 5:11. And in James 4:4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world, is what? Enmity with God.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. These celebrities are not a friend of God. And who are they to try to tell us how to live our Christian life? You see that? They trying to give us advice. What'd you say, Sister Sherry?
I said, who's listening to them?
Right. And there's a lot of people listening. These celebrities guide us on our thoughts on how we should. What's that guy, Dwayne Wade? And his son, daughter, what have you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big impact on a lot of people. They are listening. They tell us and dictate to us to embrace this LGBT agenda, and then the sports arena tell us to embrace the girl, the biological men going into the, y'all see that? Then these corporations say, we're going to shut down because y'all won't let the biological men in the showers with the biological, with the women. See that? This is the
mm-hmm.
world system. We got to be able to see this, because if we can't see it for what it is, then Satan can't. We just blindly go to church. Oh, yeah, God is good. And we just ignore all this stuff that's happening in the world that the church should be standing up and reproving, exposing. You see that?
Amen.
And so he says, this is how Satan entered. We got to learn to look past the people we see in groups that we hear. And we have to see the spirit at work using the people and the groups and stuff that we hear. This is the deception of the world system. Then we get into church. These same people, believe it or not, they have, he was a pastor named Foster, and he was used by Andrew Carnegie and some of them big time, I can't remember the other one, J.D. Rockefeller. And they planted this pastor in churches. And they got the name of the denominations. And they teach this doctrine that's contrary to the message of the cross. They purposely do it. Now, the person behind the pulpit or the people in the church may not know, but they put these people there and they had the doctrines that they teach that sound good and nice and positive, and they told them to plant, because if they can deceive the church, they can stop. See this? They can stop our eyes from being open, and we can't affect others. They named the denomination, it was about 30 of them, and one of them was AME Zion. And I was like, wow, the Lutherans?
Oh.
It was a whole bunch of them, and they purposely, these are the men that started America, financed America, put it that way, Carnegie, J.D. Rockefeller, all them, they were the ones financing. See, this is why I said we have to be very careful and see the spirit at work behind, because what they relay to us on the surface may look and sound fine and dandy and, oh, they're good people and they're good, but you got to see what they support, what they're standing for, who's financing it. And then that's how we will know, and the spirit of God will reveal that. But this is where Paul said he had much to say, but they couldn't embrace it because they were hard of hearing. They couldn't go in depth. They wouldn't let the word of God penetrate. So they settled for what they saw and heard and what the masses went with. So in Genesis, we're still at Genesis. We'll go ahead to verse 4 and 5, Sister Chair.
And the servant said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. God don't know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil.
Okay, so it says here, let me read here. Okay, therefore Eve was first deceived by Satan because she was willing to have a conversation with him. See that? Some doctrines, beliefs, and stuff we shouldn't even entertain. It's a difference when somebody's caught up in it and they want to know how to get out of it. That's one thing. But some of these folks that purposely portray it or perpetrate it and trying to, they don't want to change, but they just want it for the sake of arguing, what have you. You have to just, they let the Lord deal with them. Because when you entertain it, have a conversation, guess what? You're going to start, well, you know what? You're going to start getting confused and start questioning and doubting what you learn. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Satan wants. All he needs is a question. Question mark there. Because look what happens. It says, Eve was first deceived by Satan because she was willing to have a conversation with him. Once she turned her attention to listen to his subtle words, she was then led onto a path that would take her away from God's best. Having gained Eve's attention and trust through conversation, Satan responds to her by offering an alternative understanding concerning the prohibition of God. And that's what Sister Jerry just read, right? So it says here, what does he do? He begins by questioning the accuracy of her statement by asking, has God said? Then he presents his alternatives by challenging the word of God. And it says, herein we see the root that ultimately brings forth the fruit of rebellion. See that?
Yeah.
Basically, Satan opposes God's authority, and then he offers his own. That's what he does. And that's, and you can see that in Isaiah 14, and y'all can write this down, 12 through 14. And I'm going to read this last paragraph right here. It says, at this point, you can see that this type of contradiction is not about conversation. It is about control. What did Satan ultimately gain?
Control.
Yes. How did he get control? And see, did Eve see the goal behind his deception? She couldn't see it. What did she see? All she saw was the fruit. It looked good. She wanted it so that she could be wise and like God. So she wanted wisdom, mm-hmm. but she came to learn a wisdom by entertaining or partaking in sin. God would have given her wisdom without sin had she walked in obedience to his word. So this is how Satan works. He wants to pull you and I away from. He wants control. What did he get? God gave them a command, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, have dominion over the earth. See? Satan, Lucifer, before his fall, was in charge of a garden called Eden. It wasn't the same garden. It existed on the earth. He had access to heaven, and he ruled this garden that was on earth. It wasn't the same garden, Eden. This was a different Eden. When he rebelled against God, remember, he wanted to exalt his throne because of the beauty, because of his pride and arrogance. So when he fell, God created, remember, God had created, we can go into a whole nother teaching about the previous creation before Adam and Eve, but we're not going to go there right now. So, but what happened when God placed man in this garden, Satan knew what he had once owned. He was over, a garden called Eden. So he wanted this dominion, but now he wanted in the state of being Satan, in his fallen state. So he used deception to get this control. So this is what makes him the little g god of this world system. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he blinds the minds. He's the god of the world system who blinds the mind of all those who walk in disobedience. Sinner and saint alike. So if I'm not letting the word of God penetrate my heart, being real with myself and my shortcomings and what I stand for and all these things in life, then what happens is deception. I deceive myself. I can think that I'm walking in God's word, in his will, in his way. I could think that I'm doing what's right, just like King Saul, but he was in the flesh. He couldn't see because he was blinded. See that? And so what happens here, it says that we see. So the same thing is happening today. Satan wants to control, since he's the god of the world system, he controls the free flow of information. So there we have disinformation, we have misinformation. Misinformation is just when you are misinformed. Disinformation is purposely put out there in error so that to deceive the masses, so people don't know what to believe. But we have the mind and the spirit of God. He will filter through all the misinformation and the disinformation, and he will lead you and I to truth for right now in our daily living. This is what we need on a day-to-day basis. Now let's go to Luke 4. Any questions while we're going there? Let me see how much time I got. Any questions or comments?
When Adam and Eve, when they put them out, God put them out, Where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
That might be
he
crazy.
Put them outside of the garden. They existed in land, but remember, it wasn't going to be easy for them. So it was someplace outside. I can't tell you exactly where they went, but it was outside of the garden. They were barred from the garden.
Okay, they were barred from
the
garden.
So the garden was a place. So they were barred from it, and I think it ended up disappearing where they were, the tree of life and all that stuff. They couldn't go back into that in their fallen state. Because had they stayed there in their fallen state, then sin would be there forever.
Okay.
Sin would continue to run its course forever, and that's what Satan wanted. If they would have got a hold of that tree of life and in that fallen state, sin would have remained. So they were placed outside of that garden.
Okay.
So Luke chapter 4. Now, I want you to see this. This is example that Adam and Eve should have followed. Because remember, they both were without a sinful nature. Christ did not have a sinful nature, nor did Adam and Eve. They committed sin in a state of innocence. So did Lucifer. See that? Sin, the error, it came from their lustful desire to be like God, to exalt wisdom apart from God, to exalt self. It went from God consciousness to self consciousness. And that's what pride, that's why pride is the root of all evil. Okay? So in verse 1, let's start this, Jerry. Luke 4.
And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread.
Okay, let's stop right there. So a few things we want to point out. Now, he was tempted 40 days of the devil, right? And he had nothing to eat. Okay? And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. So there was a want. There was a hunger there, right? He was in his most vulnerable state as a human, as being man, okay? So he, it says here, but the devil said unto him, is it Satan is a fallen angel who led a revolution against God in eternity past. This revolution is still going on today. This revolution has gone on since eternity past. Adam and Eve were a result of, a part of, or a result of his revolution against mankind. He's against everything. The Bible says in Revelation 13 how he said great swelling words against God, the Most High, the Antichrist, Satan using him. He shouted blasphemies to God. He hates God. Okay? So what? It's the same spirit at work in this world system today. This is why I keep trying to warn, because a lot of Christians, if we fall asleep or fold our arms or let the world system entertain us, we won't be aware of it. We'll think it's just everything's good, fine, and dandy. But there is a whole world system, an evil system at work behind the world system. And we can't see it. Remember, he presents himself as an angel of light. So the only way to penetrate that darkness and to see that truth is by doing and hearing and doing God's word. Eve heard, but she didn't do. Adam and Eve heard it. Don't eat. The day you eat, you shall surely die. But they didn't do. You see that? They didn't set out to perform, to obey what God said in his word. So what happened? It says here, Christ gave us the greatest example. He was tempted. We're not going to, we're without excuse. We're going to be tempted. We're not exempt from problems. But there should be a significant difference between the believer going through problems and the sinner.
Right.
The believer trusting in the cross and the sinner. there should be a big deal. We're all gonna, we all have problems. And one, and the Bible says, and we read last week, be slow, quick to hear, slow to speak, in that word, and slow to wrath. Slow to speak meant slow to murmur. A lot of Christians, we get into predicament. First thing we want to do, Lord, slow. We want to murmur just like they murmured in the wilderness. But we should trust that God knows in his wisdom, he has a tailor-made circumstance for me, and it's for the purpose of producing tried and approved character. He's trying to let the engrafted word penetrate my heart, uproot some bad thoughts, uproot some wrong perceptions. See, some of us don't know who, how God, the true God, really works, because we were brought up in some wrong teaching and doctrines or what have you. We have to get, we can't get to the point where I've arrived, I'm okay. Because if I ever get to that point and I can't see that there's more in me that God has to deal with, and I can't see the things that God want to uproot, I'm in a sad and pitiful state. I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself. Notice that. And so he says, if I hear, look at myself, walk away, and continue to go my way, I am deceiving myself. This is what the Pharisees did. Religion kills. Religion is man's attempt to cover up or reconcile himself to God with fig leaves. It's man's attempt. That's what Adam and Eve did. They tried to reconcile themselves to God through their efforts. God had to show them it would be through the death of innocent blood. That's why he had the coat of an animal. See that? They tried to cover themselves with the leaves. So it's man's attempt to reconcile himself back to God. That's what religion is. And so what happens when we get in religion, we think we're okay. My effort, oh, that's why Cain brought a work of his hand. But look, it showed what was in his heart when he killed his brother, and he was angry, which led, see how sin goes from anger to murder?
Amen.
So here we look at the response. Now, it's totally different. Christ's response is totally different than what Adam and Eve's response was. So the devil did the same scheme. The devil said what? If you be the Son of God, command this stone. He saw that there was a want in Christ's life. He saw that there was a want in Eve's life. She saw the fruit. She desired it. And then he said it could make her wise. So he says, make these stones. He was tempting Christ by causing him to use his powers as God. Christ couldn't do that. If he done that, he would have disqualified himself as redeemer. Because what? He tried to attempt to redeem man without being man. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Bypass the test. Come on, make it easier. Put your strength in there, God, Christ. Turn them stones to bread. Satisfy your lust, your desire. See, it says the temptation was that Jesus used his power for personal gratification, which was outside of the will of God. That's what Eve did. She used her desire, her human strength and ability for her own personal gratification, to be wise and like God. See that? Let's see what Jesus responds. Let's see how did he entertain Satan by saying, well, I think the word said, let's see how he, verse 4.
And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man.
Stop right there, Sister Jared. Sit right there. That's all Eve had to say. It is written, God has said that we should not eat of this tree. And the day we eat, we shall surely die. She said, well, God said that we can't eat from nor touch it. She added too,
right.
Which showed that there was some doubt in there. She entertained. You see that? And what did he say? It is written. And he quoted what? Sister Terry.
That
verse
man
4.
Does
it
not
is
live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Satan said, dog, and shut him up on that attempt. Now, Satan will not stop tempting us. See? See? Yeah. So, let's go to the next one. Let's see how next test it is. Keep going, Sister.
And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And
now, this is, it constitutes that which was literally done, at least as it regards the mountain. So he showed him all the kingdoms. Why? Of the world, because he was over it, the world system. See that? It's the world said he showed them all, and what did he say, Sister Cherry?
And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it to, whomever I will give it.
So here you see, this is why I said that Satan is the ruler of this world system. We can't put our trust in it. Everything about it, the airways, everything about it, he controls. You got to know by the Spirit of God. It's not easy to just know because you see something and hear something on TV. You can't just believe that. You can't. There is an effort, and you have to research and know and seek the Lord on what is true and what's not. Right now, we're in a warfare of misinformation and disinformation. And so the Christian, if we're misinformed, we won't know how to pray properly. We'll pray based upon the lies projected to us off TV or off whatever people are saying. Even this whole COVID thing, there's a whole bunch of lies. But if we just sit back and casually accept what we hear and see and not get facts, and when I say get facts, you get data. You get information to support what they're saying. You will see, and you'll be like, "Oh my Lord, they're taking us as fools." And when you see the stats and the information, you'll see how Satan runs this world system and runs the sheep, the people of this world system, and we just move at his bidding. God says, "No, my sheep hear my voice." See, there are sheep out there following Satan's voice. And we got to know the shepherd's voice. And this is why it's important that we become critical thinkers and know how to let the Spirit of God open our minds and our heart to the truth of his word. Because if I get truth where the Spirit of the Lord is, he's going to liberate me. See, he's going to liberate my mind from being controlled by just believing stuff because I hear it. He said, no, take heed how you hear and what you hear. So the devil says, what? All this will I give you. Now he has this control because Adam and Eve did what? Gave it to him. Now he wants control over Christ. He wants the power that Christ has. And if Christ would have bowed down to him, Christ would have submitted. The Bible says, to whom you submit yourselves servants to, his servants you are to whom you obey. See that? This is why all of mankind is a servant unto Satan. Everybody born is born into the system and serves Satan until they've been removed from that system by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And now we have a new husband. See that? That's what Romans 7 was about. If I'm dead to the law, Satan can't have control over my mind, my thoughts. We have to be broken because we are so strong and self-willed. God says, cast down every imagination. He know what it takes to get us to cast down. We can't do it in our strength. So all this power, Satan says, I'll give it to you and the glory of them. Let's keep going and see what he says.
Will worship me, all shall be thine.
Okay, I just looked at the clock, y'all, and we're over our time. Let's write down this where we stopped at, and we'll go into it next week. So he said, if you therefore will worship me, he wants worship. It goes back to Isaiah, and y'all can read this in Isaiah, I think it was 14, 12 through 14. He wants to be like the Most High God. He wants worship. So had Christ bowed down to him, we will not have a redeemer. We will all be under his control, and he is a hard taskmaster. So on that note, I'm going to close. We'll pick up next week at Luke 4 and 7 and continue with James 1, 22 on down. So the scriptures I gave, y'all can read up on those, and if you have any questions for next week, we can discuss that, okay? So we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things to strengthen you in your walk. We're just trying to prick the mind to think and to let the Spirit of God take us deeper into the will and the way of God, because the Holy Spirit has, there's some deep things of God, and we gotta get past these carnal things and these things that just we want to stay on the surface, and we gotta let the Holy Spirit penetrate the heart. But it only comes as you and I trust in the cross. And we can't trust in our own efforts and my own studying and my own digging and my own. It has to be a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. God said, from such I will not turn away. Okay? And he's willing to give us the revelation, but I got to be willing to embrace everything, what he has for me, what he wants to put to death in me. I got to be willing to embrace that, and it'll be like a floodgate. As soon as I surrender, everything will start flowing. The friction will be removed, you see? And so this is why we have to let the Spirit of God transform our thinking and our mindset and our hearts. So until next Tuesday, those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.